Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for listening to the pod. Hope you've enjoyed the previous episodes of the podcast, including Sports Adjacent. My guys, Jason Leisure, Russ Dorsey, sometimes Tony Gill. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is that Tony is doing with the pod. He's like, I'm out. We'll see. But thank you. And if you haven't checked out the latest episode of Layla's Room inside of the House of L podcast, scroll back and listen to her and Annie Costable talk about a lot of cool stuff. I think important stuff too, along with the growth of the WNBA. Today is a little bit more of a vanity project for me as far as subject matter goes. And it's weird because, you know, watching Arsenal win their match against Everton, I'm happy that they did all that they could do to win the Premier League. But City just, you know, I didn't expect West Ham to win. I was hoping that City would just have a bad day and tie, and then Arsenal would win and they would win the Premier League. And I guess, you know, there's still the sanctions that could be placed, but they're probably not going to be placed, and Arsenal could still technically win, but I don't see that happening. The run that they went on from the beginning of the year till now is incredible. That week around Christmas is what cost the Gunners. But even still, like, you end up with 89 points. You should, you know, you feel really good about your chances to win it. But it shows you the type of season that City had. But everything's moving in the right direction. You know, Champions League stuff. Finish second. You're playing until the your chances of winning a title are still technically intact until the whistle sounds. And that's all that you're asking of your team. It's fun for me to have a team that I care about the way that it's like the only places where I can emote like a fan are with Arsenal and with Alabama. Everything else I have to be looking at from almost a clinical standpoint because of what we do for a living. So it's nice to be able to let loose like a fan, like let some of that energy go like a fan and enjoy it. Enjoy screaming at the top of my lungs when things are going your way, when West Ham scores a goal and make it 2-1, and you're like, okay, there's still a chance. They could get lucky and tie this game. But it's nice to have that. I feel like I have to whiteboard the soccer thing a lot. for people when it comes to me. I didn't grow up loving soccer. And I was thinking about that today. Like I'm 48. And when I was a kid, growing up in Roseland, I'm sure I've seen a soccer ball. I saw a soccer ball. Like, I'm sure of it, but I don't remember it. I remember playing basketball on the South Side. I remember, obviously, like, playing with Jackie Robinson West, which is one of my favorite memories as a child. I remember playing touch football. That was always a lot of fun. I don't remember. Maybe it didn't reach me from a conscious standpoint until I got to high school. So we moved right before freshman year for me to go to HF. And I had a buddy, my friend Sean Johnson, not the Sean Johnson who played goal for the Fire. My buddy Sean Johnson was one of the best soccer players in HF history. And what I remember about that, I don't think I ever went to one of the matches. What I remember is that you always wanted Sean on your basketball team, like our intramural basketball team. We always wanted to make sure, because Sean could ball. But on top of that, never play basketball with soccer players because they can run all day. They can just run. And so it was always cool to watch Sean, like, just get up and down the floor. Because he was just amazing, like an amazing athlete. So I never really, like, I probably didn't take to soccer fully until, I don't know, maybe 2008 or 9, like somewhere around there. I started to pay more attention to, like, the U.S. men's national team. And look, like, when the women were doing their thing in 99, like, all of us paid attention to it. And there's a history with the women's national team of perfection, you know? With me, I think it probably, I guess it started, like, being interested in it started earlier, but I didn't really commit, I guess, as a soccer fan until probably 08 or 09. The way that it started, though, beyond, like, my interactions with Sean in high school, and I knew some of the, I lived next door to some of the women who were on DePaul's soccer team. And I had friends who were on the men's soccer team. So in college, I went and saw a couple of matches, but I, you know, you're just out there supporting your friends. You don't necessarily know what's going on. You just have a stake in them doing well. Fred Huebner, when I was producing Murph and Fred, aka Freddie Umbro, Fred was kind of the person that he was so passionate about soccer, and there was really no place for us, especially in those days on the Score, for us to really talk about soccer. But he always wanted to say, no, you don't understand. Like, I know you're a football guy, you're a baseball guy, you don't understand, soccer's great. So I think I started paying attention because Fred was so passionate about it. And so you start easy. Like, well, who doesn't root for the United States men's national team? Like, you start there. And one of my best friends, my best friend, Afia, is, her family's from Ghana. And it's the 2010 World Cup where Ghana, where they score that last goal in like the last 30 seconds or something. So we had a bet on the game. And the bet was the winner, the loser pays for brunch in perpetuity. So here I was back in the old red, white, and blue. And now I have to pay for brunch forever. Other than the only time I get off is my birthday. Afia takes me out for my birthday. But other than that, your boy is picking up the tab. Thanks a lot, Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan. And they did their best. And then it kind of goes from there, where you have your national team. And then you pick an international team. So there were a lot of, at the time, there were a lot of people buzzing about the Premier League. And I was like, okay, why don't I pick a team? So I looked around and I asked around, and Arsenal became the team that I started watching. And now it's been great. Like, it's been fun. I haven't gone over there yet. I actually have not been to Europe, and I'm leaning towards going soon. I long flights are rough. You know, it's Crohn's thing. You don't want to be on a plane too long because you never know when things could go bad. But that flight, you know, if I take a flight from Chicago or from New York to London or Glasgow, because I really want to go to Scotland, and everyone keeps telling me how great Iceland is, maybe at some point I'll make it over there. It's not as high on my list of things to do as other places, but it's on the list. And it's just fun, you know, and I feel like I picked a team. Like, I didn't go, I'm a Man United fan now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do that and just say, well, let me pick the team that's been the most successful and just start being a fan of them. There's been a lot of torture being an Arsenal fan, like just wanting them to be in Europa or just wanting them to just sneak into being in the Champions League. To see what's happened under Arteta over the last 2 years has been incredible. And it's fun. The other cool thing is I've enjoyed the community of people in our business that we've kind of Voltroned up as people who like Arsenal. I mean, there are people who like other teams too, and I don't begrudge them. You know, they're wrong, but you know, Mully's a big Man U guy, for example, and he's been over there and he's seen matches, and he's as committed as anyone I know when it comes to Premier League stuff. We used to have a producer at The Score, Kevin Zipak, who I thought, I was really hoping that he would, you know, kind of, I felt like there was an opportunity there, and I think maybe we missed it with Zipak, for him to be doing soccer stuff for The Score. I haven't checked in on him in a while. I hope he's still doing it, because that guy was knows his shit. But for me, it's been fun. Like, there's a group of us now that when there's an Arsenal match, like we're on Twitter, like together watching it, and it's dope. It's me, it's Lawrence Benedetto, who I've known for forever. He's an incredible producer that I've worked with multiple times. It's Evan Moore, who is an incredible writer. You know, wrote Game Misconduct, that book. If you want to learn the ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes in hockey, I highly recommend that you pick that up. It's James Naveau. It's Cam Smith. My guy Mario from Hyde Park. Like, we're all in this thing. I just found out my guy Randeep Janda from Hockey Night Punjabi is an Arsenal supporter as well. So that's cool. So we're like working on like a meetup at some point when Arsenal comes and plays their friendly in Chicago. But it's fun to have that. Like, it's similar to me to like over the last couple of years being able to talk women's basketball with people, and you see like who's in it and interested in it. And, you know, I'm glad to have like an outlet for it, to have an outlet to just have fun and enjoy a game that's really like grown on me as a competitor, like seeing the incredible athleticism that it takes to play this game at the highest level, like the heartbreak of it, the bounces, the pageantry, like all of that stuff. Like, it's very, very cool. But it's been great. And even today, even watching Arsenal lose the Premier League championship and knowing that they went on like this incredible run, and knowing that they did what they needed to do, like, it gives me a lot of hope. And we'll see. We'll see where things stand. But it's fun. And I highly recommend. I have brought other people into it. Like, when I've had friends that are asking me, like, why am I paying attention to a soccer match instead of other stuff? And I'm like, you should pick a team. And I've done this with like a bunch of people where I don't try to convince you should be a fan of Arsenal. No. If Arsenal is your pick, then great. But I have friends that decided that their team was Liverpool. I have friends that decided that their team was City. I have friends who decided that they wanted to cheer for West Ham. Whatever. I don't care. I just like that there are now these places where we can discuss soccer. And it's great to kind of find something later in life, especially when you didn't have it earlier. And I want to talk about that, but I just want to say, like, this was a fun season to, and man, Declan Rice and Martinelli, like, those two dudes played their asses off in this final match against Everton. They were everywhere. It's cool. Like, it was cool to be hyped. Like, I was hyped this morning. I made sure that I got everything done. Got up early, did the work. I actually went on my weekday routine. Got up early, did my workout. I had a little bit of grocery shopping to do. I did that. I made sure that I was back in the house. Today was a McDonald's breakfast day too, so that was also exciting. Went to McDonald's, got my order, made sure I was back in the house before kickoff. And seeing the pregame and, you know, NBC with their coverage and wall-to-wall coverage all over their networks, and you're like, wait, there's a soccer match on the Golf Channel? Well, yeah, they need it. And having the energy of what happens on the final day of the season, there weren't any real, no one was really in danger other than the last three teams of being relegated. Like, that's another fun part. This year, there wasn't that type of drama at the bottom of the table. But, you know, even that can be fun when you're watching teams that are just trying to survive in the Premiership. Like, it's cool. But I had a blast, even though my neighbors probably didn't have a blast. They're probably like, why is this fool yelling at 10:30 in the morning? Because I was watching the match. Maybe they were too. I should give them some credit. Maybe they were Everton supporters or City supporters, or maybe they were Arsenal fans and I was doing enough screaming for all of us. I don't know. But I do want to talk about not growing up with soccer, because I've been thinking about it like all morning this morning. I was thinking about that part of it. And I want to broach the subject with you about it, and we'll do that next.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So as I said, growing up, baseball was king for me. Now, my grandfather played in the Negro Leagues. I still have his gloves. It's like one of the greatest gifts that my dad's ever given me. It was like, do you want your grandfather's gloves? I was like, yeah, I'm like, absolutely. So they hang on my wall. Like, I remember that. Like, as a four-year-old, them getting me my first glove, us playing in the driveway of my grandfather's house with a tennis ball, because, you know, you're not going to give a four-year-old a league ball, but learning how to catch and then loving baseball the way that I do. Someone actually asked me about that the other day. I think I was in the barbershop, and someone asked me about, you know, what do I like more? And I would rather cover football, because I covered it for forever, and I know the life of covering baseball is not for me. I don't know how people do it, to tell you the truth. It is a grind. Like, the hours of it, the amount of games there are. You're talking about 200 games if you count. If you're really doing your job, like the people that cover the team every day, Megan Montemurro, Maddie Lee, Lamont Pope, Daryl Van Schallen, like all of those people, they're crazy people. They're crazy people for covering baseball. They love it. Even like, look, think about it this way. Even if you don't leave the city, you could still, if you're a beat reporter in Chicago, you can still cover 162 games. Like, if you're Bruce Levine, for example, you're covering 100, you're covering, you know, 81 home games for the Cubs, 81 home game for the Sox. It is not the life for me. Now, there have been times when it looked like I might have an opportunity for, you know, like doing some play-by-play stuff with baseball, and that would be cool. I don't know if it's on my list of things to do anymore, but it was. Like, it was even, you know, it's even been talked about, like, contractually. But, man, is it a grind. Give me covering football all the time. I love that schedule. Because we all know what everyone's doing on Sunday in the fall anyway. So you don't feel like you're missing out. But with baseball, there's so much life that you're missing out on. So I really have a tremendous respect for people who cover baseball for a living. But growing, like, you asked me what I'd rather do. There is, even at 48, even at my advanced age, athletically, there is nothing I'd rather do than take infield. Nothing. Like, if you want to play 21, okay. If you want to run a half court, 3-on-3 game, I'm down. I got to play ball at the United Center earlier this year. That was an amazing moment in my life as a kid who grew up loving the Bulls. But if you said to me, hey, Lawrence, we're going to have infield practice, like, near your house, where do you want to take grounders? Second or third? Or do you want to, you know, catch? Like, I love that. Oh, I love it. I'd rather do that. The thing that's strange to me is because so many people inside, like, the Black diaspora are fans of soccer. You know, I talked to Goff, like, his family, that's in Belize, soccer is a huge deal. I have friends from Puerto Rico and the DR, soccer is a huge deal. Friends from Mexico, soccer is a huge deal. But specifically, like, Jamaica, like, in the Black diaspora, like, soccer is a big bleeping deal. All my people is in the West Indies. It's a big deal. And I wonder why. That's kind of the question I found myself stumbling across this morning was, I wonder why it's a sport that isn't bigger with Black Americans. And then I started, like, really thinking about it. Like, it's all you really need is a ball. Like, it's like basketball, in like, it can be an inexpensive sport at the beginning. And I wonder, through the 70s and 80s, like, there was this whole thing of soccer's the next growth sport in America. And it's don't worry, soccer's coming. And I don't ever remember. And look, I went to a very small Catholic school on the South Side. There were 33 people in my graduating class. And I knew most of them from the time that we were in kindergarten until we graduated from eighth grade. I don't ever remember soccer being brought up. I don't remember it in gym class. It was never a thing. Like, if we were outside, we were playing softball or football. You know, we usually play football in the morning and then we play softball at gym or like after school. And then, you know, basketball, play for the school team. I'm using air quotes. You can't see me. Like, playing in that Southside Catholic League, playing basketball. And then in the spring, I'd go to Jackie Robinson West. I don't know. Like, I'm sure that there was probably some. I should talk to my parents about this. But I don't remember it ever being introduced to me as a game. Like, I knew who Pelé was. And I do remember, like, Karl-Heinz Grenitzia, or at least I think I do. Like, I remember the Sting. But I don't ever remember being offered the opportunity to learn or play soccer. And I wonder why that is. I wonder why that's one of those things that should, like, carry over inside the diaspora. And it, for some reason, didn't. Maybe because there were other choices, or maybe because you need so many other people to play. But even if it's just kicking a ball up against a wall, as far as practice goes, like, that's, shoot, we used to play baseball. We used to play with the strikeout box and it'd be four people. You could go, you know, 2v2, put a couple of milk crates together. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, all the stuff that we had when I was a kid. Put a couple of milk crates together as a goal, play 2v2 soccer. Why didn't we do that? I don't know. I remember my niece came over to the house. God, this must be 5 years ago. And we got her a soccer ball. Like, a little soccer ball, because she was six or whatever. And watching her, my niece is not that interested in sports now, which is crazy because she's in a sports family where one of her aunts was on the short list to be drafted into the WNBA, or an uncle from the other side of the family is, he's a legend in DeKalb as a basketball player. She's not that interested, but I saw her, like, kick the ball around. I was like, you're good. And I wanted to introduce soccer to her because soccer wasn't introduced to me. I'm sure that there are some papers on this. I'm sure that there are people who are more in the know than I am on soccer and the Black diaspora to explain how we all have friends that were in the West Indies or in the Caribbean, and they grew up playing soccer, or families that we know of African descent that were into and playing soccer, and we never caught on. It was never offered to us. And I'm not saying that anything is, I'm not saying that this is a scandal. I'm not saying, like, the powers that be kept soccer from us. I'm just trying to figure out why weren't our parents interested? Like, why wasn't that? I mean, I get it. Like, stickball, baseball were their sports. Like, it's a very American thing. And maybe maybe the truth lies in, as you're trying to assimilate, soccer is a lot more foreign than baseball is. And during the time when my parents grew up, you know, this is the beginning of Jackie Robinson's career when they're born. And you're seeing all of these great black baseball players in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Maybe that's why. Like, maybe there wasn't a way to for them to even really get to know it outside of their friends. Like, my dad, all he rode with were African dudes. Like, to this day, like, that's all he rolled with. How did they never say, "Hey, Warren, how about teaching your son some soccer?" My older brother, I don't think that he may have played it. Mendel was really far ahead when it came to that type of stuff from my vantage point. I have to ask him that too. But I don't know. All I know is that when we got out to Homewood, there were like soccer leagues and stuff. You know, that people took those soccer leagues as seriously as I took Babe Ruth baseball when we got out there. And now I know that travel soccer is like a thing where they've convinced everyone that there's going to be a scholarship for you down the road and your kid kicks the ball backwards all the time. If you got a thought on this, I would love to hear it. houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. houseoflpodcast@gmail.com. Why do you think this was the case? I'm open to your suggestions as long as they're respectful. But it's cool that at this point in my life, I've actually found a community of people that are similarly minded and want to share and want to talk about it. The other thing I'll say is that while there are some outliers in this regard, for the most part, I have found soccer people to be really inviting. They're happy that you chose the team that you did and that you're watching and or talking about soccer. Like, that's not the case with hockey. Like, hockey still, even though I've been around hockey for forever, there's still hockey people like, "You don't know." I'm like, what a unwelcoming way to try and convince me that your sport deserves more coverage. Yikes. But the soccer people have been like, "Oh, who's your squad? Oh, they suck, man." "You need to pick a better team." "No, I like my team." All right, they're like, "Okay, that's totally fine." But I like that there's enough community where it matters. And I hope that you enjoy the podcast today. I promise you, I'm going to do more research on this. There might be a follow-up episode. I'm going to talk with some more friends of mine about, like, "Hey, man, why didn't we grow up playing soccer? What happened? Where was the disconnect from our brothers and sisters who were from Africa and the Caribbean? And why didn't that take hold here in the black communities of Chicago and LA and New York and Atlanta? Why did that not happen?" I'll tell you what I find out. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.